Lord be with us.
You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Are you ready?
Stand by in one.
I invite you to let this be your moment.
Ready, mic one. Cue tape. And roll.
Make this your moment. Look back at this day and say, this is a day when something happened that really mattered in my life.
And we're live. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I am here to journey with you to a new day, a new moment. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. He is about to show you how your story can touch the lives of others while bringing glory to Him. It's not too late. Today, this moment can be the start of the best rest of your life. So join thousands of women from all around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. Well, hello there. Do you have your coffee or do you have that special drink? I want you to grab it and pull in because we have some important things to talk about. I want you to feel like you are just right here with me. Let me scoot in and talk to you because we're all a part. You and I are part of something that no one can take us out of. We're a part of a group. We are connected. You know how we're connected this morning? Do you know how we are so much alike? Because we're both wounded. We are all wounded. Think about that for just a minute. Oh, I know you're probably looking at yourself going, wait a minute, how does she know? How does she know? Because I think I'm covering it up pretty well. You might be thinking about that because that's what I thought for so many years. It's like, gosh, I sure didn't want anybody to know I was wounded. But then when we realize, you know, that great writer, that incredible man, Henry Newell wrote, he writes, nobody escapes being wounded. Well, that's a pretty big number there, isn't it? Nobody escapes being wounded. But he goes on to say this, we are wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. But the main question is not how can we hide our wounds. I don't know about you, friend, but that's what I tried to do for so many years. I just wanted to hide it. But he says the question is not how we hide our wounds, so we don't have to be embarrassed or we feel shame or all those other things that we bring upon ourselves, but he says the real question is, how can we put our woundedness in the service of others? He says when our wounds cease to be the source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that hope for you today? I wish I'd read this years and years ago when I was walking around in my woundedness, feeling so insignificant and so not usable. Feeling like everything that God had planned for me had been negated because of hurts and pains and burdens and being so wounded. But boy, when I really got into God's Word, oh, and I really started to talk to people and understand what God was trying to say to me, you know what I realized? I realized just what this doctor is saying. That's exactly what Jesus has said. Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, in this world, we are all going to have trials and tribulations and hurts and pains. What Jesus was saying is we're all going to be wounded. We cannot escape the fact that we're all going to be hurt. We're going to have a child who hurts us. We're going to have a partner who walks out on us. We're going to have a diagnosis that breaks our body down. None of us can escape being wounded. But Jesus goes on to say, but take heart, for I've overcome that. In other words, he said, I can do something with that, just like that our Dr. Newell was saying. He was saying, but there's something more, because what we've walked through can be turned inside out and used for something good. There's a story in John 9. I don't know if you've all ever read the story, but I will tell you what, this could be a modern day story in my neighborhood, and I bet it could be with yours as well. It's John 9, where Jesus is walking through the town, and the disciples look over and they see a man who's blind. Well, their minds start thinking, just like ours would. Wonder what happened? Wonder what's going on? How long has he been blind? Has he been blind since birth? Did this just happen? Is it accidental? Was he born this way? But they took it a step deeper. They went to where probably most everyone goes. If they don't really know how God works, they looked at Jesus and said, hey, who sinned? I mean, I can almost hear them whispering, can't you? Who sinned, Jesus? Was it him, or was it his parents that caused him to be blind? Why is it that we think that just because we're wounded that we've done something wrong? Well, of course we can suffer the consequences of bad choices, and of course we can. But that's not what God is telling us in our woundedness. He's saying, and he said to them, neither. This is not a punishment. He didn't do anything wrong. Jesus says, just stand by, disciples. Open your eyes, because I'm about to show you a lesson. I'm about to show you truth. And the truth is this, he says, Jesus, to his disciples. This man is blind so that the works of God might be displayed in and through him. Now, I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about how you have been hiding your woundedness. And today we're going to talk about, where are you in that woundedness, and what do you want to be done in that woundedness? Aren't you ready? Do you understand that God is saying that there is a purpose to your pain, and that through him that we can find works that can be displayed about his love, because we are wounded? Oh, my goodness. Isn't that, that's amazing. That's amazing grace, my friends. And that's what we're going to talk about today as I introduce to you my guest panel today. Oh, I'm so delighted to have two of my dear friends who also know about wounds and all want to share as we talk about how we've been wounded and then what God is doing with those wounds. I want to introduce to you my friend Becky, who's from Augusta, Georgia, and my friend Debbie from Gilmer, Texas. Welcome, Becky and Debbie. Thank you so much for being my guest panel this morning.
Thank you, Kim. I'm so glad to be here.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Okay, scoot up to the table, ladies, because isn't this a powerful subject that we're getting ready to talk about?
Yes.
Is it?
I can't think of anything, haven't we? Yes, I can't think of anything more important to talk about right now.
Yeah. Why do you say that, Becky?
I see it everywhere I turn. After attending your conference in January, it was just the trigger that I needed to kind of bring out my own story. And that's why I'm sitting here today, is I've written it down. I've been thinking about it, and I am ready to share it.
Good for you, Becky. Debbie, doesn't she? Boy, she got the passion, didn't she, Debbie? Once we realize, isn't the truth that once we realize that our woundedness can be in the service of others, it is mind transforming. But before we go into that part, let me ask you this. When we talk about that story of John 9, back up a little bit, John 16:33, where God tells us we are going to have pains and tribulations, we are going to be wounded, then why do you think it is? And we see in John 9, what makes it, if we all feel that, or we all mentally know that we have all been wounded, why is it so hard to share that? Would either one of you all like to answer that? Why is it so hard? Why was it so hard in your personal life?
I'll be glad to just tell you this. I thought I was the only one that was wounded or had hurts and burdens. I just felt like, my goodness, I'm the only one. You know, you walk in the room, you walk in the grocery store, you walk into work, and everybody has it together but me. So I lived for many years saying, you know, fake it till you make it.
Right. Love that. Okay. Becky, yeah. What were you going to say, Becky?
Pardon? Yes, I would add to that. I think, you know, looking around and seeing, again, everybody appears to have it all together, but I think when it comes down to it and you're just brutally honest, we all have those hurts and those wounds, and I think it's important to, you have to recognize that in yourself first, and I will speak to shame and feeling ashamed. I think that is really a powerful way to keep quiet. And I, you know, believe that that was really the best thing and the only thing for many, many years, going on 30 years, I think, keeping quiet. And I think it has a lot to do with feeling ashamed or shameful or not worthy or, you know, invaluable, or I could go on and on with that list. Yes.
Oh, and I think that what you're saying, what both of you are saying, is so right on, because we do. We see the statistics, and we know, you know, in our head that the statistics, everything shows that we're all wounded, we're all hurt. No one gets through life without feeling that, but we still feel as if we are the only one. I know for sure that is a ploy of the enemy to try to shut us down and to keep us quiet, because it is in that quietness, it's in that secret place. That's where shame must have secrets to stay in place. And once we speak that, and once we begin talking about that, what happens, ladies? Once, if to our friend who's listening this morning, who's feeling so much shame because she's so afraid to come out in her woundedness or share about her woundedness, what happens the moment that you began to speak, articulate that pain that you have in your heart?
Well, Kim, it's for me, it is the most amazing visual. When you share with someone, and you don't have to take out a billboard, you don't have to get up in front of 100 people and say, I just want to let everybody know. It just takes one or two friends, close friends,
right,
or and just share your heart and what those burdens that have been just stuffed down for years, or maybe not years, maybe recently, whatever the situation. But once you share it, it's almost like you see it right before your eyes. There is some emotion there, but it's a sweet release is how I describe it. But it's almost as if you see those chains just hit the floor.
Mm. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Love that. And I so agree. I believe, you know, we hear that saying all the time, forgive and forget. And, you know, that maybe was good advice. I don't know, an old wise kind of saying. But, you know, it's not really very practical, is it? Because God made us to forgive. Oh, my gosh. And that's the beginning of healing. But he didn't make us to forget. Why do you think that is, Becky? Now, I know you're a nurse. Why? And both of you with your thoughts, what is your thought on why God did not make us to forget our wounds and our past and our hurts and our brokenness? Why do we remember those? Any thoughts on that?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's for the very reason that he puts that in your life, so that it can be used to care for someone else. I mean, I see it, you know, at work in nursing. I see it, you know, with military wives that I see every day. I mean, those little wounds, once I start to share, I realize that we have so much in common, and those are the things that actually bring us together.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I was going to just say. You know, it you realize once you share, you're not the only one. And it's like a connection, a bonding, that your hearts connect, and you just that person just takes on a whole new meaning to you, and you don't want to see them hurt or whatever. But for me, until I really had that moment, it was like I was not allowing God's greatness and his grace and love it was not shown in my life, even though I faked it and you would have thought that. But until I admitted, until I got to the realization that I was broken, was he allowed to seep through those cracks in my life. And that's what gives me strength and purpose mm-hmm. every day.
So that is powerful, what you just said. And one of the things that I really loved about what you said, Debbie, was you said, I didn't know until I spoke it. And when I spoke it, we're talking about how you made a connection. You didn't receive what you expected. So for our friend who is listening today, one of the most powerful truths that I would like for them to hear is this, that while we think that we are going to bring shame upon us, it is just the opposite. We truly step into a freedom of acceptance. I remember, and I think Becky, this is what you're saying, is like, I didn't really understand acceptance. I really didn't know what being loved for me was. So for our dear friend listener who is thinking, well, this all sounds good, I will tell you, I've experienced, as have these two ladies, we've experienced being able to share our woundedness, our hurt, and our pain, and then to look up and see eyes of acceptance looking back at us. That is a powerful moment. Don't you agree, ladies?
Yes. Kim, I was going to add one more thing. When I was listening to Debbie about the cracks, about how shame just starts to crumble when you speak about it, I was thinking about this the other day, about how really it's like just letting the light in. You talk about the devil and his schemes and the darkness, and once you crack that open and let the light in, my goodness, it's so powerful, and it's warm, and it seeps down deep into your soul like the sunshine does on a warm day. I couldn't think of about a better analogy than that. Just letting the sunshine into it and let that healing warmth just seep into your soul.
Oh, I love that. What a beautiful picture. It makes me think of a wounded eagle. You know, when an eagle is wounded, it'll go find a rock where the sun, and it will just spread its wings out and let the sun heal it. And that's almost what we do, you know, is if in our woundedness, if we can go. And Jesus is our rock, our faith is our rock, and we stand on that, you know, and let him heal us. But the beauty also to, he has given each of us the power to join him in that healing by being able to listen to other people's woundedness. And I agree, ladies, with the question of why not to forgive and forget. You know, if we could forget, then it would be negating our lives. I believe, because I see it every weekend as we go do these Burdens of Blessings retreats, every weekend, that God does not want to negate your woundedness. He does not want to negate our pain. Oh, he could make us all a Cinderella story, but he wants us to forgive those who have hurt us, those who have wounded us. He wants us to accept his forgiveness in our own hearts so that we don't walk around trying to punish ourselves. And he wants us to remember, just like with the blind man, so that his works, that he would be displayed through us. Oh, my gosh. So what he's saying is, it's in the woundedness, there is a work to be done. But we'll never really understand our most impactful kind of work that only we can do uniquely until we allow him into that wound, and then we begin to work that out. So why do we not forget? Because that's where our work is. That is where our most powerful, unique work is. So I think for each of the listeners to really understand, and I love, Debbie, what you said, you know, you don't have to go shout it from the rooftops. It just takes one friend to just really open up and share your woundedness and move ahead you know, the title of the show is Where Are We in Our Woundedness? That's when we take a step forward into that woundedness. We begin to step out. We begin to step toward the healing, toward our purpose, and toward the work. Don't you agree, ladies? Any comments before we move on?
Kim, I agree, because I believe that's the point where, you know, you become from being hopeless to being full of hope. When, you mm-hmm. know, you become, you know, feeling shame, regret, you feel paralyzed from the way the things haven't turned out in your life, till you feel this amazing, passionate power to God, you know, you can use me with all of this mess. And it's just so powerful. And I just wanted to comment, you were talking about the love and acceptance thing. I think that was the key for me. And it came, and, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I, you know, I had wonderful parents. I had all these things. But I grew up thinking, you know, living in this perfection bubble. And I'm not going to blame society or anything, but when I got to the point, and it started with sharing my hurt and my burden, when I got to the point to do that, it was like God looked down on me as well as my friends that I shared with, and they said, "That's my girl. I love you. I've been with you all along. You are so accepted." And you know what? That's something I didn't get. I had never gotten before. And that alone is enough to make me want to get up every morning and get started again.
Absolutely. And it helps us to understand that's where a purpose and a passion is. We all long to be accepted. You know, from middle schoolers, the statistics, you know, like you ask a middle schooler, "Do you want to go to the movies?" What's their first question? "Who's going?" Because they want to feel part of the accepted group. People, we are all a part of a group, and it's called woundedness. We are all wounded. Now, what Jesus is saying is, come be a part of my group and don't stay stuck in the hurt and the pain and the shame and the regret and the guilt. He's saying, come on over, let me do something. You know, the world says time heals all wounds. Wrong. God heals our wounds. And he's ready to do that, and he's ready to heal them in a way that we become wounded warriors. This is powerful biblical principles of God's word that I don't think that we spend enough time talking about. And I dedicate my life, and I know you two are doing it as well, dedicating our life and our time to really helping others see the manifestation of this truth, not just hear it, but to see it in our lives. And we're going to talk about that in just as we come back. We're going to talk about how God has taken the hurt, the pains, the woundedness, and what he can do with them. So we're going to break for 30 seconds. Ladies, stay tuned. We'll be back in 30 seconds, and we're going to take a caller, and then we're going to continue our conversation about how we take these wounds and allow God to make us wounded warriors. Okay? Does that sound good? Girls, ready?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. We'll be back in 30 seconds, listeners.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Coffee with Kim. And my guests today, Becky and Debbie, we're so glad to have them. I want to remind you, before we get back on this incredible topic, where are you in your woundedness? I wanted to remind you of some things. If you would like to find out more information about me and our ministry, you can please visit our website. It's www.com. Roses and A&D, rosesandrainbows.org. If you're interested in any of the books that we're talking about, Birds of Blessings, I think that there are about eight books and booklets that are available that I've written. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can also order them from our website. I'd also like to invite you to join us on Facebook every day, facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. We actually do a live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's live at 9, and it is we come on and have a devotional from my cherished devotional. So we would love to have you join us live each morning on that. As far as upcoming events, we're going to be for people in the Baltimore area. We're going to be at the Lodge on April 4th. We're going to be talking about salting and not assaulting when it comes to God's Word. Doesn't that sound interesting? I'm most excited about being in Jackson, Mississippi at the Women's Baptist Mission Association. They are going to be holding a women's conference, which I'll be talking about being outrageously contagious, walking beyond the fears and really stepping into faith. And then throughout the month of the rest of April, I'm going to be, oh my gosh, in Dallas at a women's leadership conference at the Dallas Baptist Association. I'm going to be joining my friend from London, Lady V, to do some work there. And then I'll be at the Global Summit at the Christian Women in Media, the end of Dallas. So there's a lot of things going on. And the reason that I'm doing this, the reason that Debbie and Becky are doing this, is all for one purpose, and that is so that the works of God might be displayed through our lives. Isn't that right, ladies? That we can take our woundedness, apply God's wisdom, and become warriors for those around us. Agree?
Agree.
Why?
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, absolutely. So Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, he says that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we have gone through. And that's what we've been talking about as we talk about being wounded and becoming wounded warriors. Would either of you like to share a comment about how seeing someone else wounded but yet not giving up for the sake of Christ to continue on, how that has inspired you?
Well, Kim, I think, this is Becky speaking, I think I'm right in the middle of it, and as much as I'd like to talk about somebody else, I think the power of what's going on in my own heart right now is worth sharing.
Good.
And
thank you.
I just, on a personal note, I've been suffering from chronic pain and depression for my entire adult life, and I really have not said much about it. My family doesn't know much about it. And when I spoke earlier about just bringing it to light, I've just been showered with so much, not just grace from above, but prayers and just, you know, my community around me, both here on post and at my church, just huddling close and showering all sorts of words and blessings on me. And so I think through that, over the last few weeks, quite frankly, you know, I've been able to kind of look at what all that means, and that even in the healing profession, it's going to make me a better nurse, a better mother, a better friend, a better wife, just recognizing those kind of wounds in other people and how they attempt to hide it. And we can try, like you say, but
right.
When you say that God can do something with that, you're talking, my that is chronic pain and depression. And I think for me to just speak that is going to bring that light into it. And it hopefully it will for somebody else.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. You know, Becky, I love raw truth. I love when we have the courage to step out. And I've only known you such a short amount of time, meeting you at that conference and seeing you step up. But your life truly has changed since that weekend retreat, hasn't it? What was it that happened? What was it that happened that gave you the courage? Because it does take courage to step out and be where you are now. What has happened? Tell us.
I will tell you exactly what happened, Kim. A little lady named Kim Crable came to town, and she asked us to put our hurts in a brown, ugly paper bag, one that we would normally scrunch up and throw away or burn. But instead, this sweet lady asked us to peek inside and look and see what we find. And guess what's right in the middle of it? Guess what?
No.
Our sweet Jesus is standing right in the middle of it. He's like, hello. I've been in here the whole time. So there you go.
Oh my gosh, now I have tears because that's exactly where I found him to be. That's where I found him to be the most real to me. Before I opened up my heart and my hurts, he was someone out there that I loved. But once I stepped into that place, he became my everything. He became my life, my guidance, my security, my refuge, everything that the Bible says, because he was there. Oh, what a beautiful picture. Thank you, Debbie. Would you like to add to that? That was beautiful.
It was beautiful, and that just, I have God bumps all over me. But the same thing happened to me, Becky, as well. I lived in a little small rural town, and I had a lot of things planned for a Saturday, but it was divine intervention. And I met a friend named Kim Crable, and we started at my church, just like we're talking right now, conversations of friends of faith to encourage and equip. And we all came together, and these are women from all ages, different denominations, so much wisdom, those that were young, and we were all wounded. And we just went through the most amazing spiritual pathway. And I will tell you, in my entire Christian walk, I've never experienced it. And I did. And that was through the book, Burdens to Blessings. That, in my Bible, and a group of friends who decided, okay, we're going to take the mask off and we're going to be real. We're going to be authentic. And we're going to share, and we're going to take this journey. And it's a journey like I cannot even explain. But I want you to know, if you're sitting out there like I was 3 years ago, I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was just at the dead end of existing. And it was like, you know, I was rescued. And I have not stopped since. And it's a passion that you only can get if you experience it. And I will spend the rest of my life telling everybody, come see a man. Read the book, Burdens to Blessings. Get you a couple of friends and go through the activities with it. It makes that book and your Bible and your Jesus come alive. And once you get that, without a doubt, every day you wake up, and it's not every day perfect. You know, there's trials and tribulations, but every day I wake up and say, you know, today I'm going to live the best rest of my life because, you know what, it might be my last day, so I'm going to give it my all.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. You know what I love? Here's what I love. I love that we are sharing what we know to be our truth in Christ, that it is, you know, the book is the book, you know, and the book, what the book does, and I don't want anybody to think that we're just, the book is just a pathway to healing, but it is a pathway, but for each of us, you know, it is the pathway to the way, and the way has a name, and his name is Jesus, and he is the one that he was, you know, when we think, you know, why him, why does it work, how does, I mean, is he not just someone up there? I love how both of you explained how personal he is to you, how it is a relationship. You see, when it becomes a relationship, then we forget about all the rules and rituals. We forget about all the have-tos and must-dos because we are running to him, right? And it is different when we look into our hurts, where we think that he would be condemning, but yet, Becky, he's standing there saying, oh, I'm so glad you're finally here. I've been waiting right here for you. It is the picture of the Samaritan woman, and we each must have our moment at the well where we bring our hurts, where we bring our brokenness, where we look into his eyes, and rather than condemnation, we see compassion. The Bible says he was moved by compassion, and he is with each of us. I love the scripture in Isaiah where it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought on him was for us. By his wounds, we are healed. You know, he was wounded first. He knows what it's like to be us. He knows that crushing feeling. Hebrews 4:15 says we don't have a high priest who isn't able to understand us, who doesn't know how to feel the way we feel. He gets us. For you who's listening and you're thinking, oh, but you just don't understand my sins. No, I don't. I can only understand mine, just like Becky said. Becky said, you know, the best place for me to talk is about my own, and I love that. Because that's exactly what God wanted that Samaritan woman to do. That's exactly what he wants us to do, is to run out and tell our story. In the book of Revelations, it says that the people will be saved by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of our stories. You know, no one can take away our story. No one can take away how God has stepped into our wounds and made us whole and make us feel worthy. Ladies, what are you all thinking about? I know both of you have things you want to say, but isn't it powerful for us to understand that he was wounded so that we could take our wounds to him? He was hurt so that he understands our hurts. I just, you know, for the listeners, I just want them to understand that in Christ, there is no condemnation. He says, oh, if your heart is condemning you, Jesus says, guess what? I am greater than your heart. You know, he wants us to understand his love in the midst of that woundedness today. Comment?
Kim, yeah, I had one more thing to add. At the retreat, when we started reading what people wrote down on their hearts, meaning they were writing down what their hurts, their disappointments, their abuses, addictions, whatever it happened to be, their wounds, when they started reading them, I mean, I stood there in horror that I could look at somebody and judge them from the outside based on, you know, what I thought, you know, they looked like they had it all together, but some people had been divorced 5 times or been abused horribly or been in a, you know, I could just go on and on the things that I heard. But at the same time, they all said, once they spoke that, they looked around and they saw these eyes of compassion and encouragement and just, I mean, the grace of God just enveloping them in warmth, just as I, you know, said earlier. I just was really shocked and pleased and just excited beyond belief that us women can do that with each other when we spend a lot of our time tearing each other apart.
Becky, isn't it amazing for both of you? Isn't it amazing how when we start these retreats, people walk in and it's almost awkward and it's almost uncomfortable because they don't know what is going to happen. And, you know, and so they come in and you can almost feel the tension. You feel like, and you can see ladies looking at each other like only we can. Oh, look at these cute little shoes. Oh, look at that hair. Oh, I wish I should have dressed up a little bit more. Oh, I'm too dressed up. I mean, I feel like I can read their minds of, you know, how they're thinking and what their thoughts are, how they're self-judging themselves. But after we do this one icebreaker, which we, for the people who are listening, you don't have to read your own heart. What we do is we have ladies write down what their hurt is, and then we pass those around and we read them. So no one knows whose hurt belongs to who. But as we read them, isn't it crazy, amazing how the emotional temperature in that room changes? Someone speak to that.
Oh, it's like you could hear a pin drop because women are just standing there and realizing that, oh my goodness, is that the person that's next to me? Is she hurting right now for that? And, you know, when we all write those hurts down, and everybody that's listening today, we all have different things. And there's not one that's any worse than the other because it's ours. It belongs to us. It's what we have. It's our story. It's what we have experienced.
That's right. But what happens in that room? Let's talk about what happens in that room when people start sharing their hurts. Go there with me and for the listener, because I want them to understand how people are going to really react when they share their hurt. What do we see? What
tears.
Do you see? Tears.
Tears.
What else? Yeah, what else?
Tears. And then it's just so silent. And then you see people that hug each other. And then you hear women express how their hurt hearts for the other women in that room.
Yes. And what do I say? Many times I go, what would you all like to do right now? And they all go, we'd like to hug. And what do? Okay, let's have a hug, Beth. It is the most accepting moment to see because we're also surprised. People think, oh, when mine is red, you know, there's going to be condemnation. But no, not at all. Hey, ladies, we need to take a caller here. I've got callers on the line, and I'm so sorry. So let's take our caller. Caller 0291, welcome to Coffee with Kim. Please share your name and where you're calling from. 0291.
Well, it's Amy Blackwell from Texas.
Amy! Oh, welcome, Amy. So you've been listening. Tell us what you think.
Well, y'all got my heart rate up. Y'all got me excited this morning.
And why is that? Because you're getting ready to start emergency blessings group, maybe.
Well, that too. But no, like with what Debbie said, as far as like the perfection part, it's like we go through our whole life and we try to be perfect. And with my own personal life, it was like Satan was constantly reminding me, kind of like what he told Eve, like, did God really say that? And so you're constantly working, like, even though you know you're saved and it's a gift, it's like you just are constantly, when you fall down, you get back up and you're so ashamed, so you hide it, and, you know, you go through your whole life wounded, but you're wounded in silence. And until, you know, you break through with that. And my little brown bag started before I really knew there was a brown bag. But last year on June 5th is when God told me, okay, it's time to look into your bag. And so coming across Burdens to Blessings a few months ago, it was like the icing on the cake. And now it's just, okay, you know, go and tell my story. And that's what I've been doing.
You know, and you'll remember, of course, you know, Debbie, you remember Becky from our retreat in Georgia. You came from Texas to Georgia just to be a part of the Burdens of Blessings retreat. And I know you walked in going, I don't even know why I'm here. But you walked out, as you call yourself, a princess warrior. And you have been on fire ever since because it does something to you when you realize your woundedness can be used in the service of others. Doesn't it, Amy?
Yes, and now that I don't listen to the liar, and I listen to God, and when you say where it's in Revelations, you will overcome by the words of your testimony, it's so powerful and so true, because just like after I get off the phone with y'all, I'm on my way to speak to a lady that I barely know. I met through Facebook, because I believe God has given me discernment now of when I feel like someone is hurting in silence. And that was me for so many years. And I just now I believe God has just really put this sensitive part on me where I can sense that. I don't know if that makes sense. But now I'm so eager for everyone to have what I have gotten in God. And so, you know, I got boldness now. And it's crazy because I'm such an introvert, quiet, shy girl.
I don't believe it for a minute, but I'll sit here. And that's what happens when God gets a hold of you. Cannot hide. It's like the Samaritan woman. when you really meet Jesus face to face, and he brought her all of her wounds out, all of her hurts out, so that she would know the depth of his love, she couldn't help but run back to even the people who had abused her. But Amy, one of the things that I wanted to share that I think is just, and Becky, you were there for this. Amy is a cute little petite girl who came into the retreat, and there in Augusta, not really knowing anybody. And one of the ladies there said later, told us, she said, you know, when she first walked in, I just thought she was the cutest thing, and I just wanted to go over and hug her and say welcome. And she said, I felt in my heart God was saying she just needs a hug. And my other friend said, who am I? She's too cute. She looks too perfect. You know, she would think I'm just old and probably being nosy. And so my friend, the other friend, sat there and did not move. Well, during the course of the retreat, our Amy found the boldness, the courage, because she was tired of hiding. She was tired of masking. She was tired of living with the lies. And so she stood up and started sharing her hurts, her woundedness. And I'm telling you what, there was not a dry eye. Her realness and her rawness brought each and every one of us to our own place of hurt and pain. We connected at that level. But as soon as she finished and she sat down, my friend came to me and she said, I have to tell you what happened. God had told me to go over and hug her, and mm-hmm. I didn't. And she said, my friend said, I am so ashamed of myself. And I said, you take that, you shake that shame off right now. That mm-hmm. is not of God, and you do what you think you should do right now. She goes, well, I think I'm just going to go hug her. And Amy, she did, didn't she?
Yes, we got a hug.
Amy, this is Becky again, but I don't know if you remember just before that, that I got your heart.
That's what I
got
thought.
I got your heart that day, and when you stood up and said that was yours, I walked across our big circle. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, now I'm crying.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just want to say this whole conversation. This conversation is a God setup.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Oh. So Becky, Amy's heart.
Had Amy's heart.
Wow.
Amy spoke up and spoke about it. I hugged Amy. Everybody else hugged Amy. And Amy is going on to share the wealth.
And that's exactly. And see. Oh, my friend who's mm-hmm. listening, who feels like that your life is of no good, that the plan has been stolen, that you're too wounded. Oh, I pray that you will listen right to mm-hmm. this. I pray that God's anointing will touch your heart at this very moment and speak truth. Speak truth that God wants to heal. He's standing right there in that woundedness. Oh, my gosh, Amy said something. She says, we're so busy working. We're trying to work. We feel like we have to work to earn God's love. But you know what? Here's the truth. We are working rather than allowing God to work, his work to be displayed through us. Listen to the irony of that, because the scripture tells us there in John 9 that he wants to work through us. So if we allow our wounds to be handed over to him, if we give up our working to try to be perfect, working to try to not be judged, if we just give that over to him, our wounds, then his work can be displayed through us. And ladies, that's what I see in each and every one of you three. And that's why I wanted you all to come on, because through your woundedness, through my woundedness, that is how this world is truly going to see the love and the acceptance of Christ alone. That is a powerful visual for anyone who's listening this morning. Oh, my gosh. So any other comments on that before we only have about 5 minutes left? But let's talk about finding the courage. I want to ask each and every one of you, at that moment when you felt in your heart, when you're listening to something like this and you know your own woundedness, what was it? If you can quickly, each of you, what was it that you had to battle through to speak? And are you glad that you did it? Who wants to start?
The first step for me, and I did this for several weeks when I was going through my Burdens of Blessings journey. The first step was writing it down. I had to realize that this was what was holding me back. This is the lies. This is the burden that the enemy was using to keep me paralyzed and to keep me from being all that God had called me to be. And I think writing it down was the first step, and journaling. Right. And through that, prayer and reading my Bible, you know, God just continued to fill me with confidence and love and acceptance. And so did the women around me.
Great, great. Okay.
I think for me, I'm sorry. For me, Kim, it was when you say about what's the next step, and it's a little step, but then also, you know, when you're praying about what that next step is listening for the answer and then being obedient. So if it's like Amy said, she has a hurt meter for people. She can look around and she can see somebody who's hurting and she goes to them. That's obedient. It's a small step, but it's a first step. And she's going to go meet somebody today. Maybe I could go meet somebody today. Maybe you could go meet somebody today, somebody that you know is hurting, and that can just really just spread the power of this message to the far reaches.
Love that. The next step, I love that. Be obedient to whatever your heart is saying to you. And I know you're starting the group too as well. And Amy, what about you? What, when you were sitting there and you were hearing all this, what was it that you pushed through to take your stand, to share your woundedness?
I would say, because when you're standing there, I'll go back to the circle, and you see all these women, and you want them to have this freedom that you hear about in the Bible, but yet you don't even have it for yourself yet, it kind of helps you want to get there too, so then you can go love on them. And so I guess if that makes sense, it just but for me, as far as pushing through, is I really had to pray, because I am a shy person. I am, I overthink and I hesitate, and I have all these you know, human flaws that Satan will try to use to keep me quiet. So I've been praying for months for discernment and to be bold. God has just constantly blown my socks off, because I'm like, did I just really do that? But it was God. Oh, God. We just have to be willing to step out there and be vulnerable and raw and real. And then he does the rest of it, and it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy.
So any shy listener that's listening today can look at you and see what God's compassion and courage can do to someone. Anyone else have a minute here before I do our closing. Anybody have a final thought for anyone who's listening about their woundedness?
Well, I know that I had, looking around, I was looking for encouragement for myself. And I really believe that God told me that, you know, the first step is to be an encourager for somebody else. Yeah. And then it just flows back to you like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's too long. And this is Debbie. And I just want to add to that. The most amazing thing is, you know, once you get to the point and you take that step out, it becomes a lifestyle. And someone explained that to me, and it makes such sense. And I have found myself through continuation of facilitating Burdens to Blessings. We have in Northeast Texas area many groups that get together and meet weekly, and it's like a ripple effect. You just see that message going out and over. And I really know that that's just the power of the God that we serve and the one who took it all for us on that cross. And so it just touches my heart.
Yep. And I think that's the desire of the ministry. And I know of my heart and your all's hearts is that we truly do share the true message, and the true message is not within us or not within our ministry or in any ministry. You know, the truth is held in the one who is the way, the truth, and his name is Jesus. And he is the one who was crushed for us and wounded for us so that we did not have to stay in our woundedness. He stands before each and every one of us today with open arms, and he says, come unto me, because I know you're weary and I know you're tired. And he wants us to begin today living the best rest of our life. But listener, you must remember, God cannot heal what you do not reveal. We must find the courage. We must find the courage, even if we have to say it with our voice shaking, we must find the courage to speak our truth. If only one person, if only your sister, a friend, a husband, call me, call Debbie, call Amy, call Becky. Share your truth. Bring out your hurts. Speak your pain, your wounds. Bring them out of the darkness of your heart into that light. And I love that picture, so that light can just penetrate even into every crevice of every hidden hurt that you haven't allowed anyone to know about for so long. Aren't you ready? Are you ready to give that up and see the good works that God has for you? You see, by speaking our truth, we dispel the lies that we have been telling ourselves, and we find that we are accepted. We are worthy, we are significant, and we see that not only are we validated by the love of Christ, but within our own story, he allows us to validate, educate, and empower others. If we share our story, we shatter our silence, we strip away the shame and the secrets and the guilt, and we go on to live the life that Christ died so that we may live. Goodbye, everyone. This has been Coffee with Kim. I hope to see you next week, next Monday. Goodbye, guests. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining Coffee with Kim, a moment where your past pain connects with your future purpose to create your unique and powerful story.